No telling what's going to happen tonight in church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We will not be handling snakes. 1 Corinthians 11. Good to have visitors our way. We have been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of 1 Corinthians on Wednesday night. And then we got into the Christmas season and we got away from it 3 weeks ago. And we were right down in the middle of chapter number 11. So I probably, I don't know if you remember where we were at, but we're going to back up and just kind of skim over it and get back up to where we were at. We were actually down around verse number 23 when we stopped last. Verses 1 and 2, remember Paul's giving a charge there to the church. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Am of Christ. So Paul was a good man to follow. He really was. You look at his life, you look at how he handled himself with people, cared for people, loved people, was a man was fallen. You know, he had wreaked havoc on the church of Jesus before he got saved. But when he got saved, he just jumped in with 2 feet, started going. But, you know, as a man of flesh, you know, him and Barnabas had a fallout there over John Mark and worked things out. The Bible doesn't give us a particular time when they did work it out, but we know that they did. When he asked for John Mark, and he brought to him later on his ministry. So Paul said, "Be ye followers of me." And remember when we went over that, I told you, where are you leading folks? It's important. Because whether we like it or not, people are followers. I mean, we might say, "Hold up, get away, I don't want you following me." People are followers. So our question in that passage of Scripture is, where am I leading people? Well, it's 2014. You've done led them as far as you can lead them, or wherever you led them in 2013. Why don't we purpose in our heart tonight to begin or continue leading them closer in their walk to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we can't go back and erase what happened in 2013, but we can ask for forgiveness. Or we can say, "Lord, thank you for the strength you gave me to get this far. Now help me to get on down the road a little bit further." Amen. So don't get discouraged and quit. You know, sometimes that's what happens. Begin to think about everything that went on and, "Man, I made this promise to God. I said I was going to do this. I was going to do that. And I didn't end up doing hardly nothing at all. So I'm just going to quit." That's not the right answer. That's what the devil would have you to do. But God would have us to press on. Press on. So that's what we need to do. Be followers of me even as I am of Christ. And Paul's telling them to follow me, keep the ordinances which I teach there in verse number 2. In verse 3 through 16, Paul had some corrections he had to make there concerning women and worship and how to worship and when they were not to worship. And you know, a lot of people go to the far side of this. You know, "Well, women are not supposed to speak at all in church." Well, then they better quit singing, because that's a part of voice. You know, what they're not supposed to do is usurp authority and begin to start teaching and preaching around right now where I'm at. That's not, there's a place for it. Well, we have some good teachers. I'm telling you, when we have vacation Bible school, some of our ladies out-teach all of our men. They do. They're really good at teaching those kids and so forth and so on. But there was a correction that had to be made there. And then, you know, and it doesn't go over too well nowadays. Boy, people get mad at you in a minute you talk about women preachers. But, you know, I'm not talking about it. I'm not going to argue about it. I'm not going to fuss about it. The Bible says. Well, she's winning folks left and right to the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. I'm glad. But there's qualifications for a pastor. You know, and there's no arguing about it. You know, you gonna preach against it? I'm gonna read the Bible and go with the Bible and present the church with Bible truths, and we're gonna go on, because I'm telling you, we can get caught up sharpening our tools with people over things when we can be busy winning souls to the Lord. So we're gonna present Bible principles. And I was talking to Brother Josh today about some things, and I told him, I said, Brother Josh, you just have to remember, there's people that have preferences, and if their preferences is different from your preference, there's nothing to talk about. That's their right to have preferences. But when it comes to biblical truths, we just gonna stand fast on the truth. That's what's important. And so Paul had to do some correcting there in those verses. And then in verses 17 through 34, there was it moved on into some problems in the Lord's Supper. You know, verse number 19, he says, "And there must be also heresies among you." There, so he had to correct some problems with the Lord's table. Now, if we will understand this and remember what the Lord's table is about, it will help us in the long way. It's a table of remembrance. It's a table of remembering what Christ did and what He did for us. And it's not a sacrament. It doesn't add to my salvation. I am saved through Jesus Christ and Him alone. War is a solemn event. The church comes together and begins to prepare for the Lord's table and the observance of that. Paul said, listen, there's heresies among you, and it should not be so. It had turned away from a memorial supper to a glutton party, you might want to say, there in the scriptures as we read down to that point. So in verse number, let's pick up reading in verse number 19, and we'll read to the end of the chapter and get on down the road. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are proved may be made manifest among you when ye come together. Who's he talking about? When ye, church at Corinth. Remember, this book is written to the church of Corinth. We take a pattern from this book to operate and have operations of the New Testament church. So he's telling the church of Corinth, when ye come together, well, how do we know that this is the church of Corinth? Remember, you got to go all the way back, keep it in context, back in chapter number 1 and verse number 3. You remember way back then, it says, verse number 1, Paul called and the apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sonethes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. So there's a problem outside the church of Corinth. He says, now when you come together, you church of Corinth, when you come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, one hunger and another drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? To who? The church of Corinth. Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which was which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my body. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he may not together unto that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So there was, it had changed to a drunken party. They just was enjoying the food of the flesh and filling up with the food there, eating and drinking. Paul said, listen, do all that stuff at home. Do all that stuff at home and take care of that there, because when you come together to take the Lord's Supper, it's a solemn place. And you need to go back and kind of go to the beginning, if you would, in Matthew chapter 26. Back over there. Hold your place there. Back over in Matthew 26, you'll see when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, His table. Matthew 26, verse 26. Matthew 26, 26, the Bible says there, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So as we look back to the origin, to the beginning of the Lord's Supper, we have to look backwards, and we get a picture of what we're supposed to be doing, what the elements are, unleavened bread. Why unleavened bread? Because the bread is a picture of the body of Christ. It's a type of the body of Christ, and leaven is a type of sin. So God says to us, take unleavened. Well, how do you know it's supposed to be unleavened? Because it's taken during the time of the Passover. When you go back, they had the week of unleavened. They had to remove all leaven out of the house back in the day of when they were celebrating the Passover. And so when he came, this is a picture of him. And so we don't want to have something that's picturing the Lord Jesus Christ that has and also a picture of sin within it. Can't have it. And so the Lord uses unleavened bread there, and he says, hey, look back at that and remember that, because it represents my body, which had absolutely no sin at all in it. And then in verse 25, back in 1 Corinthians, we look there and we see where he always, every time, uses this terminology, the cup. The cup. He never uses wine. Never, ever uses the word wine. It's always the cup. Every time you go to a place where it's talking about or dealing with the Lord's Supper, the Bible uses the cup. Why? Because it's unfermented. It's unfermented. That's what's the wine. Because that fermentation represents also sin. And listen, Jesus had no sin. None whatsoever. So it's a picture, it's a type. The Lord's Supper, you prepare the church. When you come together, we take a pattern to that. When we come together, we do it for one purpose. Remembrance. What are we remembering? What the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. His body was broken, His blood was shed for you and I. And it's a solemn thing. Some churches have it every fourth or every last Sunday of the month. Some churches have it every Sunday. Some churches have it every quarter. Well, when we look here, the Bible says, as oft as you would, as oft as you would do this, as often as you would remember this, it kind of sets no timetable. It's when the church comes together, they're prepped, they're ready, there's no problems within the church, there's no division. Well, it'd be a shame for a church to be in the middle of a split just because the bylaw said you have to have the Lord's Supper. You must take the Lord's Supper. That'd be no different than here. Paul says there's heresy. And not only heresies, there's divisions in verse 18. I hear that there be divisions among you. He said, I believe it because there's heresies among you. So you have to understand what we're dealing with here. It's not just... it is a precious time when we come together to partake of the Lord's Supper. Now what are we doing? We're looking back to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're remembering. It should be a precious moment. A moment of solemnness, a moment of quietness and stillness, because we're coming to partake of the Lord's table in remembrance of what He has done for us as an individual and for the church. So I died and gave myself for the church. Why? Because I love that which I started in my earthly ministry. So it's solemn. So if it's solemn and it's special, there's some dangers in observing it wrongly. There's some dangers in just taking it at haphazard. We have to examine ourselves. We're to look within and look deep within and see, am I right with God? Am I right with my church? Am I right with fellow Christians? Am I right with God? You have to look inside and say, hey, have I been doing what I should be? Because Him to know it to do it right doeth not. To him it is what? Sin. My commandments are not grievous, the Lord Jesus said. So when we come together to take the Lord's Supper and you're ready to participate, do some internal searching. And say, hey, am I right with God? Hey, am I right with my church? It's important. Am I right with, say, a fellow Christian down the road or a member of another church that you may be friends with? Listen, we live in a strange day and age. Some pastors get all a little bit freckled and they get a little scared if their members have friends from another church. Listen, that's crazy. I'm not going to be upset and bothered if you're friends with somebody at another church. Well, we got to be mature enough to know that if the Lord placed you at Lock Haven, that's where you're going to stay and be faithful until the Lord moves you. Because if friendships can move you, dear friend, what's going to happen when that friendship goes bad? So, maybe at cross words with another Christian or something, and it's time to take the Lord's Supper. Hey, you need to get that right. Hey, the church needs to be very careful that when we come together, if there is open sin in amongst our membership, that we handle that according to Scripture. And if the church is right, so hey, you're not taking the Lord's Supper because you're living in open sin. Preacher, they might get upset with us. I'd rather people get upset with us than God. Amen. I'm just telling you, church, this is a serious moment. It is a perpetual ordinance given to the local church. It's not something just, we're just going to have the Lord's Supper because it's just something to do. No, it's more than something to do. Yeah. Search and look inside because, listen, the judgment of the Lord will come upon those who observe it unworthily. That's what it says there. Let's read 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The Bible says their physical weakness in verse 30. Even death. That's what sleep is talking about. And it's a serious thing, church. Oh, the Lord wouldn't kill nobody. Well, if you tell Ananias and Sapphira that when we get to heaven. As I read that in Acts. Remember we studied the book of Acts, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and Ananias and Sapphira sold the stuff and said, hey, we're going to give it all to the work of the Lord. And then they got a bigger sale than they had thought. And I said, wow, man, they'll never know. No, they never would know, but the Lord knew. The Lord knew. Hey, it's a serious thing. Supper is a very, very serious ordinance for the church. You know that the local church has only two ordinances? Baptism and the Lord's Supper? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. I mean, if He gives us two ordinances, we should be very careful to observe them properly. That's why we got to make sure when somebody comes and make a profession of faith that we have a clarity in their heart. In their heart. I can't know their heart. You can't know their heart. But we have to be clear with the gospel message. Amen. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. That they trusted in the death, burial, and the resurrection. They've turned to God in repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they're saved, born again, regenerated, saved, then we baptize them. Not just to get some numbers. We do it because it's an ordinance given to the local church by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, nowhere in Scripture do you find that we're to disciple them into theological geniuses before they get baptized either. Sometimes people want to wait for a whole year before they baptize somebody. I just know that there has to be fruit for repentance, meat for repentance. I have to know that, hey, they are not trusting in shaking my hand. I have to know that they're not coming down here, oh, my grandma was a Baptist, so I got to be a Baptist. I want to join your church. What I got to do? So let me get baptized. It's an ordinance. So we're careful with it. We're careful with the Lord's table. Wouldn't it be a shame, church, that if we were to observe the Lord's table and somebody got sick because we as the church did not observe and examine and look into ourselves inwardly? When we could have just stopped and said, hey, we got problems. We need to get things right. We just can't do it because it's tradition. I believe that the Lord's table is a time that we could get a spiritual checkup done on ourselves, on our church. Basically, we should do one daily. That is what's called dying to self. We die to self. So if we're dead to self, we live in Christ Jesus. We're checking up on ourselves. Hey, self, you're trying to get out of line here. You're going to have to get down in your place. I got to decrease. He's got to increase. But then there's special times like that. We come together to the Lord's table and say, hey, let's check up really good here. I believe it is a time when we do a church fast, a church prayer, or we take up a church offering. You know, like we're praying for the paper offering coming at the end of this month, December 26th. Hey, we need to soul search. Say, hey, am I right with you, Lord? If I'm not right with God, how in the world giving an offering going to make anything better? But sometimes that's what we do. We try to ease the conscience. Well, we'll buy some papers. We can print some scripture right here at Lock Haven, and so I'll be okay. No, you need to get yourself right with God. I need to be right with God. Be right with my church. Be right with other people. You know, church, we need to be careful. Be very careful that we do not become just followers of tradition. Sometimes if we don't have the song service just right, some of you are out of kilter. I mean, if it don't go according to that bulletin thing that's passed out, or the calendar gets changed, you know, we got to make a change. Oh, Lord, what's going to happen now? My whole month's messed up. Really? Good. Great. We need to understand that, hey, plans are made to be changed. But if we plan around God and the Lord Jesus Christ, He keeps our calendar pretty much in order. He's a God of order. I was reading an article just 2 days ago. And it was talking about discouragement and how we can discourage other Christians and other people in the ministry and each other. When we're not in our place like we should, you discourage people. You discourage that weaker brother. No, we're not to be a stumbling block. They see you not in your place, so you know what they say? I'll be in out of my place. It's okay for them, it's okay for me. We need to be careful. I mean, we're so close to the end, church. We don't need any more falling out. There's going to be a bunch fall out, great falling away. Evil men going to wax worse and worse. We need to get excited and get on fire for God. Just say, hey, God first. Me last. Others in between. Loving God and loving others and letting God lead and guide and direct our lives. We get a whole lot accomplished. Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You might want to take a moment to come to the altar this evening. If you're lost and don't know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, my words will not save you, but I have a Bible in my hand and we can show you from Scripture how you know you have eternal life. It's not by works. It's not by being a good person. It's by Jesus Christ and Him alone. If you're lost this evening, we'll take the Word of God and show you how you know you have eternal life. Church, if you need to spend time with God, the altar's open. Page 375.
I am the
We're going to have a five-minute business meeting. It won't take long. If you are visiting and would like to leave, you can go ahead and help yourself, but we won't be long. 5 minutes. We're glad you're here. Have a motion that we may enter into a business meeting. Brother Bill Spencer, second. Brother Scott Venters. All in favor? Any opposed? None opposed. Brother Jim, will you pray for us, please?
Father, we thank you for this time to gather in your house, Lord. We thank you for the message from your word, Lord, the example and instruction that it gives us, Lord, as we enter the business meeting now. We just pray for a spirit of unity, Lord, that we, even in our flesh, might accomplish that which would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, may you receive the glory from all that's said and done here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
December 11, 2013, we had our monthly business meeting. A motion to open the business meeting was made by Brother Spencer, second by Brother Johnson. It carried none opposed. I read the minutes from the August 2013 meeting. Motion to accept as read was made by Brother Johnson, second by Brother Venters. It carried none opposed. We read the minutes of the special meeting of October 2013, regarding Pastor Appreciation. It was a motion to accept as read by Brother Jim Bedell, second by Brother Spencer. Financial report was read. Motion accept by Brother Spencer, second by Brother Coulter. Carried and opposed. We had some new business we recommended to the giving our missionaries that we support $300 each for a Christmas offering. Motion was made by Brother Venter, second by Brother Bedell. Then we also recommended giving Brother Bedell and Brother Prosper $100 Christmas offering for doing the music throughout the year. His motion was made by Brother Coulter, second by Brother Venters. We also recommended taking on the Griffin family missionary to the Philippines that had not been here yet to the church. But we were very impressed with their information they had sent us, and Brother Venters made a motion, second by Brother Johnson. It carried, none opposed. We motioned dismiss, and Brother Jim prayed and dismissed us. December 25th, the deacons recommended that the church give my family and I a $1,500 Christmas love offering. It was made by Brother Jim, second by Brother Nelson. It carried, none opposed. Any questions concerning that? Have a motion accept as read. Brother Jim, Brother Price, all in favor? Any opposed? Financial report for December 2013, we had a beginning balance of $6,393.85. We had an income of $19,729.93. We dispersed $16,063.46. Leaving us an ending balance of $10,068.32. Any question concerning December's financial statement? Have a motion to accept as read. Brother Johnson, second. Brother Lee, all in favor? Any opposed? None opposed. New business of order for this evening. We need to set the, what do they call it, rental market, Brother?
Fair market
rental for the parsonage at $800 to have a motion to set that. Brother Price, Brother Venice, all in favor? Any opposed? Any more business? Have a motion to close. Brother Spencer, Brother Lee, all in favor of closing? Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for everything you've done for us. And I pray, Lord, you continue to help us to work and labor for you. In 2014, Lord, there's many souls depend upon our church. Though we're not the only ones that's outreaching people, we have to look at it as if we are. And God, we have to be faithful to that end. Right here in our little Jerusalem, around our state, around America, around the world. Help us to be faithful. Thank you for blessing our church, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us this past year. As we work out this year, I pray, God, you'll continue to allow us to be used in your service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.